Back into the Gilgo Beach situation. Yesterday, John Ray had a press conference. John Ray, of course, representing the family of Shannon Gilbert. The sister was there present as well. Cherie. And all in all, it's about kind of a combating somewhat what the Suffolk County Police Department said, if you remember Friday, when they played you those phone calls. And in essence, told you that Shannon's death, Shannon Gilbert, was more of natural causes, not murder, not a homicide. And there was kind of a difference of opinion. And that's where everything kind of unfolded yesterday. And John Ray and Associates had a middle of place. Nice enough to give us a couple of minutes back in the airwaves. Sir, yesterday you present with Shannon's sister, and you guys had a kind of a different viewpoint here.
Yes, we did. Quite a different viewpoint, radically different than what Kevin Biro, Lieutenant Kevin Biro, in charge of homicide, put out regarding the police department position. We don't just take the opposite position. We have the evidence that supports it. Their position has no evidence whatsoever. Now, you have to think about this. Lieutenant Biro takes a snippets of the 23-minute tape and makes a show out of it and puts on photos as well for the press at his press conference last Friday on the 13th. Why would he do that? Why didn't he just play the 23-minute tape like I had been promised? Well, the police commissioner, Rodney Harrison, made sure that the full tape was played. He kept his word. But then Byron went and put on this show. Why? There was a panic that set in at the police department, in my opinion. There's no reason to have put on this fake show to continue the facade, the fraud of the entire case that the police have been saying for the last 12 years. That fraud was that Shannon Gilbert, in a bizarre twist, managed to find her way into the marsh behind Hackett's house, and there take off her pants, her jeans, walk through a canal in 50-degree weather, and the canal being 50 degrees, the cold water, and walk for a quarter of a mile, and then lay down and die on a bush only 150 feet away from the roadway of Ocean Parkway. That is absurd. It was a lie, and Byra tried to perpetrate that lie by distorting the tape, by giving the reporters only snippets that made Shannon appear to be calm and also confused, and completely cut out the parts of the tape where there were violent struggles within the house and outside the house, and where the blood-curdling screams took place of Shannon Gilbert. He cut them out of that tape. And then they even took the photographs that they were using and purposely distorted the photographs of the swamp, of the marsh, to make it appear dark when the time period that they say Shannon went into the marsh, it was light out. It wasn't dark. It was twilight and then light. So they're lying. They're distorting. They're covering up. This is not any longer a question of opinion. You know, well, maybe she did this and maybe this happened and maybe that. No, no, no. This is far worse. This is a direct cover-up. And the reason it happened is we now know why for the first time. I discovered evidence that I revealed at the press conference that Lieutenant Kevin Byra never revealed to the public and probably appears to be never revealed to his boss and certainly not to Commissioner Harrison. And that is this. Lieutenant Byra...
Let me stop you for a second. How could there be such a difference of ethics within this department currently when you have a new police commissioner who's been forthright? Remember, day one, January, he was right there, Oak Beach, gave you a little bit of a press conference, you know, told you that his priority is going to be to solve this case, and then you have his homicide leader in Detective Lieutenant Kevin Byra, and he's basically going another road here. How could there be such a difference from the commissioner and his lead homicide guy as far as the revelation in this particular situation of Rodney Harrison playing the call, the entire one, 23 minutes, and then Kevin Byer giving you a little bit of a snippet here. How does that happen?
It happens because the commissioner is acting in good faith. What he did is he accepted Byra as being in charge of the investigation. Byra is old blood. He's been in charge of that investigation for years. He traces back to the regime of Burke, and he's a friend of Burke's. But more importantly, that you need to know is that we discovered that Kevin Byra and his family, the Byra family, lived directly across the street for years from Peter Hackett and his wife, who came from a very prominent family in her community. And they owned a fishing, his wife, Hackett's wife, owns a fishing restaurant and bar and a place where you launch fishing vessels nearby. And Byra and his family were big fishermen. So was Hackett. They lived directly across the street in a tiny little community of only 1,200 people in total, counting children. And they did that for years. He is completely intertwined with the one cell family, which is Hackett's wife, and with Hackett and his family. And he never revealed this, ever. And this is stunning when you think about it. Therein lies the source of the cover-up. And let's not make any mistakes about any of this. There's an interesting factor in this as well. Her last name is Wansell. She's very proud of her last name. She publishes it in when she went to Columbia, she published it in the Columbia newspaper as Barbara Wansell Hackett, W-H. Those are the letters that are on the belt that were revealed. We have here a cover-up, and Kevin Byra has got to go. And if he doesn't, we're going to the United States Attorney General, and we're asking for an investigation of the police department's investigation. Something is very seriously wrong. And I believe that the press conference called by Byra, and where he was the star of the show, was an actual indication of panic once the 23-minute tape was going to be released. That's what it was. It was him in panic. Now go and try to get an interview with Byra. Let's see what happens. Something's very, very seriously, deadly wrong here. Hackett is the prime suspect. He's been so from the beginning. You'll notice that the press conference that they had, Byra never mentioned Hackett. And when a question was finally raised about Hackett by one of the reporters, they stormed off the stage and didn't answer it. There's something really wrong here.
On him to recuse himself from these investigations. Have you heard back at all from anybody at the department regarding this?
Not yet. I haven't heard anything, but we're working now really hard to continue this portion or this part of our investigation. You'll notice another thing that happened at the police press conference, and that was that for the first time, the police took a position that Shannon died of a so-called tragic accident. Up until then, they were saying it was undetermined how she died, which was consistent with the Suffolk County Medical Examiner's determination, undetermined how she died. But now, for the first time, Lieutenant Byra says, oh, she died of a tragic accident, and that's what he gets the commissioner to say as well. There was no tragic accident. It's impossible for there to have been a tragic accident. But equally as important is the police are in the business of collecting evidence and from evidence drawing conclusions. Notice there is no evidence whatsoever of any accident. They've cited none. They don't even tell you what kind of an accident they say she met. And yet they adopted that as their position now. Their official position is that she likely died of a tragic accident. And in that, they rejected all the evidence pointing toward Hackett, a huge amount of evidence pointing towards Hackett, and a huge amount of evidence pointing to the fact that Shannon was murdered.
Well, let me ask you, John, what about autopsies involved here? I mean, if she died of natural causes, what were the revelations from way back?
Well, the autopsy, the very poorly done by the medical examiner in Suffolk County with really amateurish work that was done, came to the conclusion that she died of undetermined causes. The autopsy by Michael Budden, world-renowned coroner who used to be the Suffolk County's medical examiner himself, came to the conclusion that she could not have died of an accident, is what he said. It was impossible for that to have happened, and that her death was consistent with homicide. Why? Because the bone in her throat, the hyoid bone, has two horns on it. It's a U-shaped bone with two large horns and two small horns, by the way. Those horns are missing. When somebody gets strangled, those horns crack and snap off. Those horns are gone. And there's a hole drilled right through the middle of the hyoid bone by some kind of an instrument, whether it was a needle or a drill, we don't know. But the medical examiner from Suffolk County said it's a lesion, which means it's a defect, and they don't know why. They don't know why it's there, and then they left it alone. This girl was murdered. Her neck was broken. Something happened to her neck with that hole. Somebody did something to her neck. You'll notice that the other four in Gilgo Beach all died of neck injuries. So there's a consistency here, and they were all sex workers. How hard is this to realize that something's really wrong with this whole case? And for the first time, Lieutenant Byra and the Suffolk County Police now claim that the way Shannon Gilbert made her way to her death through the marsh was that she walked through the canal, the mosquito canals that were back there, in order to get to her death. They didn't take that position until I had gone into the marsh myself last August, cut my way in and found a punt, a little boat that was covered over. And I pointed out to Lieutenant Fire, I called him and told him that, that I had found this. And then later on, I met with him and I showed him pictures of the canal. And I said, somebody could have towed her body in a boat on the canal to where she ended up. So what does he do? At the press conference, he panics again, and he now invents the story that she might have walked in this marsh canal. Well, the water is about 50 degrees at that time on May 1st, and Shannon had taken her jeans off at least a quarter of a mile away from where she ends up. So she's going to walk naked in a canal in the darkness and find her way to the spot where she ended up? That's absurd. And that is what he nonetheless said in his press conference. It's time for the press to start really looking and the authorities to looking at what Suffolk County is doing. This was a panicked moment on the part of Byra. They're in trouble, and somebody's got to focus on the trouble and get in there and say, what happened here? Why are the Suffolk County Police covering all this up? Now, Byra was one of the very close associates of the Burke regime and of Burke. This needs to be looked at. It can no longer be just about, maybe Shannon might have died of this and might have died of that. No. No. She was murdered, and they know
it. With that being said, investigations regarding this attorney general, do you think that'll actually happen, Letitia James? And where is the FBI in all of this? Because they were once on this. Do they have the right to kind of intervene here as well? What about those two things?
The attorney general of New York State has no authority to intervene unless there's a criminal referral, meaning that there's a referral about the Suffolk County Police committing crimes. That's not likely to happen under the Bologna administration. However, I'm talking about the United States Attorney General, and we can go to them and to the Justice Department and to the FBI and say, get an active role here. You know, we keep getting the fake story that the FBI has now coordinated in this task force that's been created in Suffolk County. That's quasi-nonsense. Sure, they've helped out with their lab work and that sort of thing, but they haven't investigated. Nobody's come in and talked to the witnesses in Oak Beach who know what happened that night. The FBI's not there yet. So I'm going to ask I'm asking once again, as I did at the very beginning of this case when I first got into it back in 2011, I'm asking for the United States Attorney General to step in bring the FBI in, and investigate the Suffolk County Police Department, and you're going to find the murderer for sure. The entire dead people who were there in Gilgo and Oak Beach, and in Manorville. The key to that is the Shannon Gilbert murder. It's been the key from the beginning because it's an aberration. The murderer or murderers did not anticipate everything to go wrong as it did in the Shannon Gilbert case. Shannon Gilbert is the insight to the rest of these cases, and they've got to face that and recognize it and move on it. Peter Hackett is the chief suspect in this case, and the people around him were lying about what happened that day, the people who were involved, who were all part of the little clique that existed in Oak Beach. It's got to be investigated further than I can do. I'm just a layman.
Thing, Cherie was present, Shannon's sister, yesterday from Ellenville via video. Now, she believes Shannon may have been administered drugs by, some unnamed third party, thus causing a death. Was there any revelation of anything in her system? And I know it's been a kind of a shoddy thing regarding these autopsies, but what about that aspect? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, there's no question that we have affidavits. There's a sworn statement by neighbors of Peter Hackett that Peter Hackett told them he administered a drug to Shannon Gilbert. So he had to have Shannon in his house, and he admitted that to people who live in Oak Beach. There's one neighbor who has no axe to grind against Peter Hackett, who gave me an affidavit that Hackett told him that. There's another neighbor of Hackett who does have an axe to grind against Hackett, but said that he admitted that as well. And then there's a third source, and that's Mary Gilbert herself. And we have, I gave it out yesterday, I revealed it for the first time. We know that Mary Gilbert called the Jersey City Police Department, the Missing Persons Bureau, run by a guy named Cesar Camacho, and he's a good dyed-in-the-wool cop who had done his work for many years. And she called, got Camacho, and she told Camacho what Hackett told her when Hackett called her on May 3rd, Monday, right after Shannon had disappeared. So in other words, what Mary told Camacho was not in any way tinted by or tainted by me or, the media or that Shannon was already dead. Nobody knew that Shannon was dead at that time. So Mary had no reason to make up any kind of a weird story. And what she told Cesar Camacho was that Hackett called her, told her that her daughter was a prostitute, and Hackett had never met Mary, so this was a taunt of Mary, and that she had been in his home, that he ran a home for wayward girls, and that he had medicated her, but she was confused, and she left with her boyfriend and didn't return, and he was worried about her. All of this was written down by Camacho in his missing persons report, and I have a copy of it. So there's a third source of truth about what Hackett said. Now, why would Hackett say that? There's only one place where there is a home for wayward girls, and that's where all those wayward girls are in their home right now and were along Ocean Parkway. That's the home for wayward girls. And if you think about it, Hackett. We also know that Hackett had been talking about forming a home for wayward girls since at least the year 2008. I have a witness to that effect as well. So I have all these pieces, and the police haven't listened yet because they don't want to. But that's what's there. So why isn't that being investigated? Why is it that Fira said to people when they asked him about Peter Hackett, no, Peter Hackett is not a suspect. Nope, he didn't do it. And flat out said so and never looked again at anything at all about Hackett. Why? Something's wrong here.
You got a massive conflict of interest. The most fascinating part of what you said was, see, I didn't know this, where the Byers live right across the street from Peter Hackett over there.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, we're not talking about streets that are these broad boulevards like in Manorville.
Yeah.
We're talking about streets that are in Nassau County are as narrow as alleyways. And,
right.
you know, it take just maybe 30 steps and you'll be at the house across the street. So you're going to tell me that he didn't, you know, he and his family, the fishing family, the Byra fishing family, I have pictures of them, their fishing meetings that they had, didn't know and didn't associate with the Wansell family that runs a fishing station in the same community and didn't know Hackett. They're neighbors, and they were neighbors for years.
Mm.
So how could he possibly have stayed on this case and not reveal that? Something's wrong with
it. John, a lot of things wrong here. You know, the sad part of this whole thing is with this new regime in place, and you saw what happened since the first of the year, you know, you were really under the belief that it was genuine as far as the feelings here of trying to solve this case. It has been anything but, you know, it seems like the waters are muddied even more so now since Friday. And with your press conference yesterday, you can only hope that something comes about in a positive way because, you know what, we need closure on this thing. Families need closure. It's very important here.
This whole case really stirred up a huge controversy when it all started with Hackett's lies about claiming that he never called Mary Gilbert and then getting caught with his record, with the records proving that he did. That's how this case began. Yet, now I find this evidence about Byra's connection with Hackett and with his wife, Wansell, and I call a press conference, and I look at, for example, Newsday, and yesterday's story, I haven't seen today's, but yesterday's story after the press conference doesn't even mention the conflict between Byra and Hackett. That's bizarre. Why? This is all going to be ignored and brushed under the table? This should be a public outcry. What the hell's going on here?
This is why you need an investigation here from outside sources, you see.
Yep.
Because the one thing that is so clear to me, this botched whole investigation by the county, and you're right, there are some nefarious stuff that is going on here, nefarious things that are going on here. And that's why you need an outside investigation, whether it comes from, you know, the U.S. Attorney General, somebody. But you need some sort of intervention here because enough is enough. You know? I mean, there's just too many things here that, you know, the stench is horrible from day one. And the continuing of it is just unacceptable. So, you know,
I've always given the police the benefit of the doubt. I said that they were boneheaded the way they investigated this originally, but I never went beyond that and said that there was a cover-up or anything of that sort. That was for others, and I just did my job and went about investigating. So I took no position, and in fact, you know, I think Byra, I like Byra, he's a nice guy, but, you know, I had no idea how deeply this ran, this cover-up, until the press conference that they held on Friday, where they spun a false story, and they knew it. And they distracted people, and they tried to distract the press, and they largely succeeded from the fact that for 12 years they were lying completely about what was on the tapes. How come nobody's talking about that? Right? On the tapes, there's a letter from the one of the lead detectives in homicide that he wrote to me, and he wrote to Newsday in 2012, in January of 2012, in which he said that Shannon was at all times calm. She was not about to be murdered. Everybody was calm. There were no screams. And they outright lied. And doesn't that itself, shouldn't that trigger an investigation of why the police did this and have said this? And now when they finally released the tape, they try to divert from that by eliminating the screams and the struggles that took place on that tape? That's incredible. That's called panicking. And they are panicking.
If everything is true what you say, Byra needs to get out. I mean, he needs to get off this case completely. Rodney Harrison has to really look at this in an objective way and for the good of everybody here. And if there are any type of indiscretions involved here, he's got to go. He has to go for the sake of all. John, we're going to be on this. We can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes. Sure. Incredible revelations this morning. And we'll keep on top of this with you. You know that. And
you're doing a good job. I hope the rest of the press is listening to you.
Or probably not, but it is what it is, you know. And this is stuff that, see, the problem is in the press, they're not reporting it properly, you know. And that's one of the biggest issues here. So that's why we do a show of this magnitude, is to make sure we get the truth out. And we'll see what happens. That's all we could do.
We will.
Can't thank you enough, pal. Stay safe, all right? We'll talk.
Okay. Bye now.
John Ray and Associates.